Word. We thank God for you tuning us in tonight. This is Pastor Darrell Bailey. We want to make you feel welcome to join us tonight as we get into our Bible study that deals with the Battle of Keilah. Keilah. We call it the crazy fugitive that was saved by the enemy. This is in our Bible study series, Battles of the Bible. This is the 29th in this study. August the 10th, 2022, the 13th of 5782 of the Hebrew calendar. And how truly blessed that we are tonight. Many times throughout life, we're in need of deliverance. Some misfortunes, some hardships, some trials that have happened. We need to be rescued. We need somebody to come to the rescue. Hallelujah. Here we'll be in 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 1 through 29 tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Boy, if the Lord ain't good. David defeats the Philistines. And I'm glad when we look tonight that we begin to realize that God is so good. Amen. There are times in our lives when we may encounter someone whose life is just like all of a sudden something is overwhelming them. Their problems are like floodwaters, drowning them in despair, discouragement, and mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual devastation. But I tell you, even though they're on the brink of giving up and calling it quits, some may say, you know what? I need some help. There's a lot of folks out there that's too proud to ask for any help. Others, though, they may send out some help. And I thank God here in the book of 1 Samuel, Battles of the Bible, tonight, the life of Saul. In Act 2, we see Scene 1, Act 2 tonight. Or excuse me, Act 2, Scene 3. I'll get it right in a minute. We begin to look at, as we continue on in the life of Saul, in 1 Samuel chapter 23 tonight. Somebody's sending out an SOS, amen. That's the Morse code distress signal, amen, because there's somebody that needs to be rescued tonight. They're waiting for somebody to come to their aid and to give them some direction. And when that time comes, it'll be when you answer that SOS, amen. You'll be alert when someone needs help. I hope and pray that if there's somebody that's going through something right now, whether there's a pastor, whether there's a deacon, whether there's a friend that will be there for them, I tell you, I help a lot of people all the time. Amen. I may not have called you in weeks or months, but I guarantee you don't mean that I'm not doing something for somebody. But I thank God, I like to try to help somebody every day. But I thank God when we start out in verses 1 through 6, we see in 1 Samuel chapter 3, there's an SOS going out. I need to be rescued, amen. And so we look and we realize that David's people are in trouble, amen. And they're sending out an SOS. Philistines are fighting against the city of Keilah. And they're robbing the threshing floors of the harvest grain. Excuse me, I'll back that up just a minute. Right in here is Keilah, Adullam. Let me see if I can carry on. But anyway, we see here in the Dead Sea as the area where this is at. Gibeah is up in here where Saul likes to hang out at. And so as we look at this, we see a lot of things. One of the first things is David flees to Samuel at Ramah, up at Ramah. And then David travels to Nob and he receives Goliath's sword. And then as we do this, later on, he goes over and he goes to Adullam of Gath and gathers followers. Now, that's pretty crazy. You know why? Because David is in flight for his life. And he's a fugitive. And so as we look at this, one, when we're going through troubles and times, I'm going to try to see if I can overlook that. I hope it hasn't knocked me off the air yet. But hopefully you bear with me. I don't know how that call is coming through. Because I normally try to fix that where that doesn't happen. I'm sorry about that. Forgive me. But anyway, when we see that David makes a mistake, and so here we begin to realize that in 1 Samuel, well, I'll tell you what, let me look and make sure this thing is still on. Yeah, it's still live. Sorry about that. But normally I try to block those calls so they don't come through while I'm live, amen. I apologize. But, you know, I thank God, David whenever something is happening in your life, David was a fugitive. And I'm going to tell you, he was on the flee for his life. Sometimes what we do when we're in trouble really is a big deal, amen. And so what happens is, sometimes David made some crucial mistakes. That scripture says that a lot of times, one of the things that we ought to see is that God doesn't cut people off when we make mistakes. And I'm so glad for that. David had made mistakes as he was a fugitive. He was on the run. And he made a lot of bad mistakes, amen. But one of the first things that he did was he lied about some things. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, he was in a jam, and so he had to lie. He tried to protect himself and get out of that jam. And so you see in chapter 20 where David and Jonathan, they're having this conversation. And David says, you know, there's but a step between me and death. And so his confidence and his trust in God, they faded. But from that moment, he resorts to a direct lie because he says, Jonathan, tell your dad that I've gone to my family in Bethlehem to our annual sacrifice. And that's why I won't be at the banquet, because Saul was seeking David's life. And so he really told a lie to get out of that. Sometimes we tell an untruth, and the only consequence is that it will only impact our conscience. Sometimes it won't affect, but sometimes it will affect your life. We never know. God's marvelous shield that's around us, when that happens, is a sheer of gift of grace. Because sometimes it might only impact you when you do tell a lie or a fib or something, amen. But I thank God. But David goes on, and he tells a second lie. And in that second lie, he begins to realize that he tells the second lie, first of all, he says, I'm on a mission for the king, and that's why I'm here. He tells Abimelech, the priest, basically says, I'm on a mission for the king, amen. So David tells the first one, and then finally he tells the second one, I've got men that are waiting, and I've got to get some food for them. See, he's telling a lie. He's a fugitive. He's on the run, amen. And so as a result of his lie, there are serious consequences. He got by with the first lie, because the only thing that he did was he lied about how that he wanted Jonathan to tell King David that I've gone to a banquet, you know. But he was really he was afraid for his life because they sought him out. And so the second one is he tells to the priest because he needs some food and he needs a weapon because he's on the run. He's a fugitive. And so I thank God. But the second thing, David was afraid. And because he was afraid, just like you and I, in 1 Samuel chapter 21 with the priest, he told a lie and he says, I'm on a mission for the king. But he wasn't. He was on the run for his life. He was a fugitive, amen. And so I tell you, as we look and realize very quickly that as David was afraid, he said, there's but a step between me and death. And in the middle of the chapter 21, he's afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And so in Psalms, 1 Samuel 23, verse 17, later on, he's afraid again. Because I thank God, he tells us, he said unto him, fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find you, and you shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto you. That also Saul my father knows, amen. This is Jonathan talking. But I'm going to tell you, each and every one of us, if you ain't never been there and done something like this, David, when he was on the run, he made some mistakes. He did a third mistake, and that was, David makes a very stupid mistake. He takes Goliath's sword in 1 Samuel 21. You see, he needed a weapon. And so he asked the priest, amen. David went to Abimelech, the priest, and he asked, hey, you got any weapons? Well, remember what the Bible study that I taught where he cut Goliath's head off with his own sword? He took that Goliath's sword and he took it to the priesthood, and they kept it, praise God. Well, he gets that, and David puts on an ephod, a robe, a priest's robe. Now think of this through. And he's got this big old 9-foot-9-inches sword of a giant Goliath, and he's trying to hide that in the priest's ephod. Well, he goes to the very city of where Gath, where the Philistines are, and he's going around with a robe on, with not a little bitty dagger, but a giant sword. Amen. How in the world can you hide that? You know, I mean, that's impossible. He's got the evidence. The goods are on him. Amen. And all of a sudden, amen, I'm going to tell you, he don't know what he's going to do. because he can't hide that sword just anywhere. Hey, it ain't no Motel 6 over there that he can go drop that thing off in. When he goes into the gates, the gates are barred. And here he is in the very city of the Philistines with Goliath's sword, with a priest's robe on. Man, I'm going to tell you, that's pretty stupid. Somebody said, man, you know, is he going to be the king? Oh, my gosh. And so Goliath is from Gath. And so he goes into the very city that Goliath is from. He's walking around. Everybody's got rumors, and they're saying, you know, he's the king of Israel, but he's not. But it shows us an interesting thing, because here we see of all the things that that he's doing. Here's David. He's sure that that day when he walked into Gath, he turned around and he looked at the doors, and they were bolted from the inside. And all of a sudden, he realized he ain't a Howard Johnson's. He ain't got nowhere to hide that big old Goliath sword, amen. And so what does he do? He starts to act like a crazy person, amen. He makes all of these mistakes. So only thing he can do is say, I'm going to act like a crazy person. And that's what he does. And so he crouches down and he acts like an animal. He crawls and he graffitis on the town gates. He's letting a little spittle come down onto his beard. He's slobbering like a madman, amen. And he's acting mad in the daytime, amen. He's coming into his senses later on, because he begins at night. He begins to look at the Psalms and write a couple of Psalms. But during this time that he's there, he's asking the Lord, help me with my troubles, amen. And I'm glad every one of us, when we go through life, God doesn't cut him off just because of his mistakes. He doesn't say, I'm through with you, David. You know, I'm through. Anybody who would lie like that doesn't deserve to be the king of Israel. Ain't you glad God doesn't do that? I thank God, everyone, us, as we go through difficult times in our lives, that here was a crazy fugitive that was saved by the enemy, the Philistines themselves. And so David lied. David was afraid. David makes a very stupid mistake. He takes Goliath's sword, and then he's got it, and he goes into Gath, where Goliath is from. And everybody's looking at this man, and they know, hey, you know, they know who he is. How did David survive when life was difficult? How do you survive when life gets out of control, amen? Well, there are some things that David did right. David did not remain alone. I'm glad that he reached out to some others, amen. And so I thank God, every one of us, he didn't remain alone. He included the Lord in prayer that we're going to read about, amen. Everything that he did, praise God. We see a picture of a believer's deliverance from all enemies here tonight, because David saved the city of Keilah with deliverance through courage. And thank God, in verses 1 through 6, that is exactly what we're going to be reading about. So David didn't remain alone. David did not become so self-absorbed in his own problem that he neglected taking care of his legitimate responsibilities, amen. And so I thank God, you know, he had a lot on his plate. He didn't have to go over to Keilah and defend them. He could have said, you know what, I'm a fugitive. I'm on the run. I've only got 600 men, and I've been on the run for 10 years from Saul. I don't need to get involved with the city of Keilah. But he did. He did. Because somebody needed to do something. And sometimes you're going to be out there and you're going to have troubles. You're already going to have a pile of trouble on your plate. But something else is going to come along. Are you going to help them? Are you going to be courageous and you're going to help deliver somebody through their time of stress that they're going through, amen, to be able to help them? David kept his heart open to God by prophet, by priest. And so he kept his life open to the Lord, praise God. And so I thank God we see David went with his men to Keilah, and he fought against the Philistines, and he freed the inhabitants of Keilah. Thank God, amen. And through the prophet, David didn't have the written word of God like we got it today. He depended upon the living voice. And so I thank God he had the priest Abimelech, Ahimelech. And so he had Ahimelech took off, and he had the ephod. The ephod was the sleeveless vest that had the pocket with the Urim and the Thummim in it, to where when they needed to know something from God, they could reach in and they could pull out that one or the other, and they could have a decision, a voice from God. They didn't have the scriptures that we could go to over here and look at it and read in a few minutes. They needed the voice of God, and they depended upon a living voice, and that's what they had. And so they were receiving the guidance and keeping his heart open to God through the priest Ahimelech. And the third way he kept his heart open to God was through his Psalms. He got into the Psalms. Right at the end of this, you'll notice that we got Psalms 54 that we went into. David, he didn't demand a reward for doing right. David didn't let the negative actions and words of others define what he thought of himself or what God thought of him. Amen. There's the world out there. They're telling you they got their opinion of what this is and that is. And you don't even know what the truth is anymore. But I'm going to tell you, you've got to depend on the Lord. And David did not lose control of himself when his life was out of control. He maintained self-control in a situation where he could have easily lost control. And so David did not accumulate any anger. David submitted his thoughts and his actions to the Lord, praise God. David left the judgment to God. Saul, as he goes out to a cave later on, David, he could have took his life, but he didn't. And so tonight, when we look at the mighty word of God, Keilah is right in this area. Here is Adullam. To give you, Bethlehem is right here, amen. Gath is over here, where David goes to later on. He goes from Keilah over to Gath, right here, amen. And so, as we look at all of the places, Ziph is another place that's down here, amen. Gibeah is up here. Nob is right here, because in Nob, here's Jerusalem. Nob was where David went, and he got bread from the priest, because he told a lie. And that lie took the lives of 85 priests, the children, the women. Saul was so jealous that he thought that Saul had everybody killed in Nob. And so that lie did catch up with David. And so when they come to help Keilah, David helped defend him, but later on they would have turned him over to Saul. You say, man, that's dirty. Now, he realized that he did not want to cause the same thing that would happen here that happened in Nob, because those people knew that if they didn't turn David over to Saul, Saul would have all of them killed. And so later on they seek God for wisdom. And David says, we need to leave here because they're going to turn us in. So I thank God when he does this, he runs out and he gets out of there. And so every one of us, Keilah was a fortified city about 18 miles southwest of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is here and Keilah is here. And it's about 12 miles southeast of Gath. Gath is here, which was the major city of the Philistines. We get into the word of God. Then they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they robbed the threshing floors. It was a time to gather the grain. What happened next? It shows the depth of David's courage and what a fearless man that he was, amen. Here we see the problem. David is informed. He's got informants out there as well. And so he said, they're robbing the threshing floors of the harvest grain. And Keilah, it means fortress. It was a strongly fortified place of security, and that the security was not so secure, and their fortress was not as strong as they hoped. They needed help. I tell you, may we realize that without God, our life is not secure at all. There's nothing else that can secure your life like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Nothing outside of Christ is ever secure, whether it is your job, whether it is your health, whether it is your family, friends, or abilities. Jesus says, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I am him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And so I thank God. He goes to a time of prayer. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord. Here comes his prayer time. Saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. And so, I thank God. What do you do when your life gets out of control, amen? You've got to trust the Lord, amen. And David's men said unto him, behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more than if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? You see, there was only 600 of them. And so, David hears the problem and he asks God for direction, amen. But all of a sudden, he begins and he sees that the Lord will guide us. He will guide our paths. He will give us the decision. He will give us the things that are uncertain in our life. God will lead us if we'll let him. Our desire should be to have him to lead us. And so that's the key with many problems. As the psalmist said, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of my enemies, and make thy way straight before my face. Every one of us, God gives David the okay, and David takes steps to answer the SOS that went out. And I thank God, but he runs into a snag. Because here in verse 3, his men, They're honest. They're up front with David. They are expressing their fear about going to Judah because, you know what? They feared that they're going to be trapped between Saul and the Philistines. There's only 600 of them. It is better David find out now about their hesitation. David was on a different level of faith than his men was. And I'm going to tell you, we are all on different levels of maturity and faith in our Christian life. And so, how does our Christian growth, how does it mature, amen? I'm glad. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so I thank God, each and every one of us, as we look and realize in the Word of God, amen, that David's men opposed the defense of the city, amen. We see the perplexity of David's men, amen. The Philistine army was far superior in both troops and weapons. And moreover, to begin fighting them meant David's small band of 600 could be caught between the two armies of Saul and the Philistines. It goes on in verse 4, so David consulted the Lord again, and the Lord said to him, go and attack Keilah, because I will give you victory over the Philistines. Thank God, as we look and realize that David again prayed, seeking the assurance of God's will, the persistence in prayer, and the Lord said, go. But this time, the Lord gave a strong assurance guaranteeing victory over the Philistines, amen. And so I thank God. David doesn't go say, tell his men, you bunch of cowards. He doesn't go and belittle them. He's not pulled down by their fear, but instead he goes to the Lord and he says, Lord. And the Lord says, go for it, praise God. Whoop them Philistines. You got my blessing. Slap them the left and the right. Hallelujah, amen. David gets God's personal guarantee of victory, amen. He says, I'll deliver the Philistines into thy hand, praise God. And God continues to give him the guarantee of victory, amen. Over the afflictions, amen. Over the worldly enticements and entanglements, amen. Over those sinful thoughts that we go through, amen. Praise God. Go and answer the SOS. Hallelujah. Amen. And God has the solution of the people's problems out there today. God provides the strength to help us in our time of need. Amen. And the number one SOS is the fear of death and the guilt of sin and the emptiness of life. And the answer to this SOS is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Every time you draw a breath, four people go into eternity. Every time you draw a breath, four people go into eternity. Yeah. That's over 200,000 people every day. That's right. God helps us to be concerned. The distress of the sinner, the guilt of the sin, because the distress and the guilt cannot be removed by good deeds. It cannot be removed by membership. It cannot be removed by baptism. It cannot be removed by money, praying to idols, etc. Because these things do not deal with the heart. Christ dealt with humanity's SOS by being the Savior of mankind. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. You and I have the answer to the SOS. Jesus Christ, He reached out to every one of us, amen. Boy, I thank God, all of us, as we go through life. But I'm glad that He goes on, He says, so David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle, smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. We're looking at the power of God. Because when you obey God's will, God keeps His word and He gives victory because we're obedient to His will and command. And so they were not just talking, but they were walking. Amen. Some folks, it's just got a bunch of talk and they ain't got no walk. But boy, when you put it on the line, the obedience that God provides, oh man, it doesn't get any better. Boy, we're just getting on out there. Hallelujah. Hearing the confirmation, David and his men, they attacked it. And boy, they inflicted a heavy loss on the Philistines, amen. And so I thank God they were saved from the oppressors. And it came to pass when Abithar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand, as I said earlier. The ephod was the sleeveless garment for the priest, amen. Here, and it was the sleeveless, and you had the pocket of it in there. It was the sleeveless coat-like garment that had a pouch attached to it to carry the Urim and the Thummim thought to be the two stones that were cast when you're seeking God's will. Amen. David now hired both the priest and a prophet for counsel and advice in helping him keep the Lord's will. And that's when he began to include, amen. When enemies attack us, we need what David needs. We need courage. We need bold courage, amen. And if David had given in the fear of his men, the citizens of Keilah would have never been delivered from the Philistine oppressors, amen. And so it is for every one of us. If we give in to fear, we'll never be delivered from the oppressions and the enemies of this life, the oppressions and the enemies such as people who ridicule, mock, abuse, assault, kill, financial, disease, depression, any person, anything that works to defeat us in the life that stands as an enemy or an oppressor against a born-again child of the King, amen. Because in facing the enemies and the oppressor, hey, you're fixing to go through a very terrible testing time in the next few weeks. I know some folks that's fixing to go into some of that. But you know what? If you'll trust the Lord, He'll get you through it. That's right. If you'll move a little bit closer in that fellowship and relationship, He'll get you through it. When you're facing the enemies and the oppressors alike, we've got to be courageous, amen. We see not only that picture of a believer's deliverance from all enemies, but secondly, we see here where David, as we go forward, amen, as David begins to tell us some things, David escaped the fierce pursuit of Saul from place to place. Deliverance through the power of prayer. And so each and every one of us, as we go through life, we begin to realize how truly blessed that we are, that God is doing some mighty things for us. And so as we look at the power of deliverance through prayer, verses 7 through 15, one step ahead of trouble. One step ahead of trouble. And I'm glad that the people of the town of Keilah, they sent out that SOS. They had been besieged by the Philistines. And after David prays and he gets direction, he attacks the Philistines. He delivers the people of Keilah from their enemies. And it was a great victory. You'd think that now the people of Keilah, they would be ever so grateful. But what happens? They're going to turn him in. Yeah. You would think David would be the hero. He was the leader of the cavalry that came to the rescue. But such is not the case. David is about to get a taste of bitterness, of betrayal. Because we look at the ugliness of ungratefulness, unthankfulness, and undermining, a smell of aromas of people that are thinking about, you know what? They want to stay one step ahead of the real destructive death of Saul. And so that's exactly what it is. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. And Saul said, God hath delivered him into my hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars. And so the event is a strong lesson on prayer, of showing how God delivers us through prayer. We see the perception of Saul. Saul says, I got him. Oh, man, he's going into locked gates. Man, he's somewhere where he ain't going to get out. And so Saul heard that David was in Keilah through his spy network. And so not every opportunity is sent from God, because be careful what you pursue, especially about life and eternal life. Don't presume that you'll have tomorrow. Did you hear me? Don't presume that you will have tomorrow. God may come tonight. God may come in the next second. Don't presume that. Don't presume you're going to heaven because you're good. Have you ever confessed Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I don't care if you're a Jew. I don't care if you're a rabbi. I don't care if you're from the lineage of David. If you ain't born again and ask Jesus to come in your heart and life, I don't care if you're a Jew. I don't care if your last name is Stein or whatever. You got to come into the family of God just like everybody else comes into the family of God. It ain't a give me. No. Don't presume that you're going to heaven just because you're good, just because of your background, just because your daddy and your mama went to church and you going to church. What about, have you ever confessed Jesus Christ as your Savior, asked Him to forgive you of your sins? Lord, understanding that I'm a sinner, Lord, that You died on the cross to free me of my sins, from the punishment of my sins. I now receive You as my Lord and Savior. And from this day forward, Lord, I ask You to live into my life and take it over. And Lord, be the one that I will trust my soul to. and give me the gift of eternal life forever and ever, however you want to put it. But you've got to step out on faith. And through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, you'll come into the family of God. Don't presume nothing. Don't presume good works will earn your way to heaven. No. And Saul, he presumed that he was going to get David, because David was in a locked gate. And he thought, because David was there, he presumed, hey, God has given me, David, into my hands. Saul ain't even living for the Lord. He ain't even in the will of God. But we presume things like that when we see things. You see, Saul goes over into the cave of Adullam to use the bathroom. And while he's in there, David could have killed him. But he went over and just cut a piece of the garment off of his robe, because David would never do the harm to the man of God. You say, well, hang on, he ain't in the will of God. No, but he was God's appointed. And because of that, David would not lift a finger to hurt him whatsoever. Saul would do it for David, but David wouldn't do it to Saul. And so later on, when he's coming out, I've got a piece off your garment. I could have took your life, but I have no desire to take your life, because I have no desire or problem with you whatsoever. And so Saul called the people together to war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. He's making out like he's going to war to protect and to fight the Philistines. But the only reason he's calling his men, he wants to get David so bad that that's exactly the whole reason for it. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar, the priest, bring hither the ephod. And so here we see that that's exactly the prayer, the prophecy, and the plan of attack. To keep in mind that David also had his spy network. David soon learned about Saul's plot, and he began to cry out to the Lord for guidance again. Then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake, like he did the city of Nob. Oh, man. And so here, note the instruction that the priest Abiathar brings to Ephraim. He gets instructions, and three things happen. David shared with the Lord what he had heard about Saul. He had definitely heard that Saul was planning to come to Keilah to destroy the city because of him. And I'm going to tell you, as Saul was willing to destroy his own people in order to capture David, will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hands? David's asking. Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? He's taken the ephod with the priest, and he's asking the will of God. God, will this happen? As thy servant hath heard, O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. He got the will of God. He says, they will give you up. So he realized, I need to get out of here. And so here David asked the Lord those two questions. Would Saul attack Keilah in an attempt to arrest him? And would the citizens of Keilah betray him and his men, giving them over to Saul? Yes, they would. Then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. Man, as you look at all the things, the Lord answered both of the questions positively. Hey, do you have decisions that you need to make? Do you have problems that need solutions tonight? Do you need some ideas? Get guidance from the Lord tonight. God gives guidance for our path. God gives guidance for our path. Ask God for guidance. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Obey God's will when he reveals it in John 7:17. Do not harbor sin in your heart. Psalm 66:18. Don't get hard-hearted and indifferent, according to the wisdom of Proverbs chapter 1, verses 28, 29, and 30. Love God's word and obey it. Proverbs 28:9. And wait for God to give direction in Psalms 25, verses 2 and 5. Walking with the friends through the furnace. In verses 13 through 18, we begin to realize some of the things that God's going to do. You know, every one of us, when we begin to go through life today and begin to realize that God wants to do some mighty things in all of our lives as we go forward, amen. Here, the Lord will light our path that we will not fall into Satan's trap, amen. And so, as we walk with friends through the furnace, amen, Saul presumes that God has delivered David to him and that he has trapped and cornered him in Keilah. But David gets wind of the plan and he prays for direction. And then David and his men, which were about 600, arose. They departed out of Keilah. They went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbare to go forth. Thank God. It goes on. that he tells the saved man. Having received the instructions, he quickly mobilizes his men. He leaves Keilah. And so I thank God. Here we see the protection of God. As quickly as he could, they fled the city. And David abode in the wilderness, in strongholds, and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hands. Amen. Well, I thank God. And from this point, David adopted a two-point prone strategy, that of constantly relocating, moving from place to place. David did this for 10 years. He was a fugitive on the run. Amen. He was seeking refuge in the frontier areas and strongholds that could not be easily defended. And as soon as Saul heard that David had fled from Keilah, he began to search for and seek out David with a fierce determination to hunt him down. Here is Ziph. The wilderness of Ziph is right here. Here's Ziph and the wilderness of Ziph. Here is Engedi. Oh, man. Engedi is a beautiful place of water. It's down next to Masada. Masada's not far down here around in the Dead Sea. And so I'm going to tell you, as this is Gath, up in here, Gibeah, Jerusalem is right here. Nob is there. Bethlehem. And so here we see the places as the wilderness of Ziph. And Ziph right here, praise God. Here, the refining process of affliction, trouble and trials, hard knocks, suffering, disappointment, betrayal. God was preparing David to be the next king. God uses the refining fire of affliction to burn out the dross in all of our lives. And he brings us a little bit closer to the Lord, praise God. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. We see that one day David heard that Saul was right on his heels, searching nearby. David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph. And I thank God that was a dry, bare, desolate area that was close by the Dead Sea. Amen. Deliverance comes through prayer. It's God himself that delivers us, but God works through prayer. Titus 2:14 says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. And I'm glad that that word peculiar doesn't mean odd or strange. It means it's two Greek words that form to be around. To be around or to be surrounded as a circle that surrounds a dot in the center. God has his own all to himself. We are all his possession. We are in him and surrounded by his care and his protection. We're peculiar people. We're surrounded by the Lord. Hallelujah. And when we face the trials, when we face the temptations of life, God expects us to turn to him, to pray, to seek his face. God cares for us, and therefore he's concerned about what happens to us. Praise God. Every time a particular trial confronts us, God wants to help us. Amen. And so thirdly, we see David was warned and encouraged by Jonathan, a deliverance through encouragement in 16, 17, and 18. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth. And they two made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. I'm glad when walking with friends through the furnace, how do you strengthen their hand in God? How do you encourage your friends? How do you strengthen your friends? Amen. Be in the presence, because it's by your presence that you know God and you're in his will, that by your presence you spend time with them in their trials when they need you. Just listening, just comforting, assuring them of their troubles. You don't have the answer. God does. But I want to tell you, every one of us, by your presence, by pointing them to the Lord, remind them of God's promises. Jonathan reminded David that he would be king, and God was great for his promises. And then we realize, review the past blessings, God's provisions, God's leading, which were inspired faith, and rally them to a decisive, to rely for the strength of the Lord. And lastly, not only by your presence, but by pointing them to the Lord, but by praying with them and for them. That's how we get our friends through the furnace. How is God our strength? He pulls us up when we're down. His peace is given in the midst of instability, chaos, and unrest. The Lord pries us from the bondage of sinful habits. He provides healing and strength for our weakness and sickness. Problems and trials are countered by God's provision of grace. Amen. God promotes courage when we're afraid and doubt. Amen. He pardons when we fail and seek His forgiveness. He protects from danger when it is His will for our life. And so all the tension, anxiety, pressure, stress, strain, the weight of circumstances can create all kinds of problems for every one of us. But we can become so physically, mentally pressured that we're gripped by the spirit of agony and affliction. Encouragement is one of the ways a person can conquer misfortune and hardship. Encouragement will arouse a person, motivate them, get them up, tackle whatever circumstances. Our responsibility is to encourage one another, not to be overstressed. And we, all human beings living upon the same earth, created by the Lord Jesus Christ, made all of us to be neighbors, one with the other, commanded to love one another with a brotherly love. We see lastly, also in verses 19 down to verse 29, narrowly David escaped the betrayal by the Ziphites and captured by Saul, but it was a deliverance through God, the protector and the helper of the believers. Amen. Every one of us, when we look and realize and see what God wants to do. There was a story told of a king that owned a beautiful large diamond of which he was very proud. It was a diamond that there was no equal to it. Anywhere in the world, it was the biggest. But somehow, it sustained a scratch. That king called in his most skilled diamond cutters to see if they could somehow or another, in some way, save the wholeness of that beautiful diamond, cure the defect of the scratch that had come into it. But every one of them that looked at it, they said, the only way to deal with this is cut this big diamond up into little bitty diamonds. And finally, one of the diamond workers came in and he told the king, I can take the scar that's in that diamond and do something with it. I can make this diamond more beautiful than it ever was. The king was impressed with the ability of the man to have the confidence that he had to say such a thing. And so all of a sudden, he gave the diamond to him. The man proceeded to work on the diamond. And for the stem of the rose that he used, he etched a beautiful rose, and where the scratch was in the diamond was where he put the stem of the rose, and it fitted in. And he transformed the marring of that diamond into an instrument of beauty, which enhanced the diamond rather than it diminished it. Well, I'm going to tell you, when life bruises us and wounds us, you can use the scratches to etch a portrait of beauty and love. God's at work in the deep faults and the deep scratches of your life. Because if we leave the issues to Him to resolve, He'll work it out for His glory. Amen. And so here, he narrowly escapes. But I thank God. We see in verses 19 to 24, all the way down to where verses 25 to 28 to 29, here we begin to look that David, when he was acting like a crazy fugitive, he began to get into the Psalms. And one of the things that he wrote, Psalms 54, verses 1 through 7, save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set a God before them. Selah, pause and think about what you just read. And behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies. Cut them off in thy truth. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. For he hath delivered me out of all trouble. And my eye hath seen his desire upon my enemies. Just in the nick of time. Just in the nick of time. The Lord comes through. God can do some things that nobody else can do. Amen. And I'm glad in verses 19 all the way down to verse 29. David narrowly escapes the betrayal of the Ziphites that he had helped them against the enemies of the Philistines. But out of fear, they were going to turn him over to Saul and let Saul have him. He narrowly escapes. But I thank God out of all of this, David, as he's betrayed by the Ziphites, I thank God as we go forward. We look and he says, then came up the Ziphites to Saul to Gibeah, saying, doth not David hide himself with us in strongholds in the wood in the hill of Hukiah? which is on the south of Jeshimon. I thank God, the narrow escape of the plot that was there, amen. Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of thy soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hands. And Saul said, blessed be ye of the Lord, for ye have compassion on me. Receiving the report, pleased Saul. He thought he was doing everything that the Lord was leaving him, David, into his hands. But that's a false blessing. It's an abuse of the Lord's name, for Saul was committing a terrible evil in seeking to kill David. And the blessing was empty and useless. Go, I pray you, prepare yet and know and see his place where his haunt is and who hath seen him there. For it is told me that he dealt very subtilly. In other words, he said, find out all the secret places that David's in and come back and tell me where he's at. I'm going to seek him out. Every place that he is in. He wanted to know all the places David went, all the supporters, all the hideouts, all the certainty that would be able to capture David. See, therefore, take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hideth himself. Come ye again to me with a certainty, and I will go with you. And it shall come to pass, if he be in the land, that I will search him out throughout all the thousands of Judea. Boy, Saul promised the Ziphites that he would launch a fierce pursuit after him. Amen. And they rose and went to Ziph before Saul. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain on the south of Jeshimon. And I thank God, as we look, Saul immediately responded to the movements of David. David went down to the rocky stronghold in the desert of Maon, which is called the Dwelling, after the pursuit of David. Saul also and his men went to seek him, and they told David, wherefore he came down into a rock and abode in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. Here, Saul's forces were scaling one side of the rocky stronghold, while David's forces were on the other side, hurrying and fleeing to escape, amen. Just as Saul's forces were closing in, here comes back to my title that I go to, where the crazy fugitive that was rescued by the enemy. All of a sudden, just as Saul's forces was closing in, ready to seize David at the very crucial moment of capture. Only God can do things like that. Saul received an urgent message from the leaders of the elders of Israel. The Philistines have just invaded Israel, and they were raiding and plundering the land up around where Saul had property. Boy, that got Saul's attention too. He reluctantly, he was forced to break off his insane pursuit of David, and he marched out to meet the Philistines in battle. Man, here in this area, as it talks about it, and Maon right here. And so I thank God as we look and realize. And Saul went on this side of the mountain, David and his men on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away from the fear of Saul. For Saul and his men compassed David and his men around about to take them. But there came a messenger unto Saul saying, haste thee, come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. And wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David and went after the Philistines. And therefore they called that place Selah Humaleka. Boy, which means the rock of escape. The rock of escape. God prepared the rock. Because as there was on one side of the rock of the cliff, and David was on the other side, God was the protector that came on the scene. The rock of escape is exactly what it means. As soon as Saul had withdrawn, David moved to the strongholds of En-Gedi. And I'm glad that our protector and helper is God. It was God who protected and helped David, who delivered him from the hand of Saul. Just as God delivered David, so will he deliver you and I tonight. Whatever it is that you're going up against, no matter what confronts or attacks us, and whether another person or circumstance or trial that we're going through, God will protect you. God will get you through the very difficult times that you're going through, that each and every one of us begin to see. Father, I want to thank you tonight, Lord. Help us to be like you. Help us, oh Lord, to be able to trust you no matter what is happening in our lives. We praise your mighty name tonight, and we thank you for what you're wanting to do, Father. Lord, that you want to make a way of escape for somebody tonight. You're concerned about every one of us and what we're going through. Help us to be bold and courageous, and help us to be a friend to somebody else that needs encouragement, Father, because you're our mighty strength. You're the one that gives us everything that we need in the time. You're our protector and you're our helper. All of this we say in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, tonight, that you'll come on the scene and be the rescue and protector for us in our times that we need. In Jesus' marvelous mighty name, amen.